Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, January 22nd, 2021. Coming up this hour,
President Biden releases plans for another round of executive orders.
Anthony Fauci steps back into the spotlight as the new administration takes power.
Mitch McConnell threatens the president's top priorities while looking to delay impeachment proceedings.
And the White House lays plans for a tax hike on corporations and wealthy Americans.
The Port Authority released a new plan to replace its bus terminal, plus Lloyd Austin is set to become the first black Secretary of Defense. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Knicks won at Golden State. The Islanders beat the Devils, and we'll hear from the new coach of the Jets.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by SEI. Since its founding 50 years ago, SEI has provided investment managers and asset owners with robust infrastructure platforms and flexible outsourcing solutions. Go to seic.com/IMS.
And U.S. futures are lower to close out the trading week. It's 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 26 points, Dow futures down 251, NASDAQ futures down 72. The DAX in Germany is down about 1%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 1.09%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.12%. Nathan.
Karen, we begin in the nation's capital, where President Biden is once again issuing executive orders. This time they're focused on the economy, and they come as his stimulus plan hits roadblocks in Congress. Details emerged just minutes ago. Amy Morris has the latest from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
These latest executive orders will boost food assistance for poor Americans and use federal contracts to move toward a national minimum wage hike. They'll also restore federal workers' rights that had been stripped by former President Trump. But Biden's $1.9 trillion pandemic relief plan faces challenges in Congress. Moderate Senate Republicans say there's no need to rush after passing a $900 billion plan last month. But the unemployment aid in that package runs out in just 2 months, so President Biden's top economic advisor, Brian Deese, will meet with lawmakers to discuss the plan, which is the first part of a two-pronged economic initiative. That second package, aimed at longer-term areas like infrastructure and climate change, is coming next month. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thank you. Meantime, President Biden's primary focus remains on the pandemic, and he's warning the nation to prepare for dark days ahead.
The honest truth is, we're still in a dark winter of this pandemic. It's going to get worse before it gets better. It's going to take many months to get where we need to be.
The president's asking the nation to assume a wartime footing in its fight against the pandemic. He says 100,000 more Americans will likely die over the next month.
Well, the Biden administration has Dr. Anthony Fauci back in the spotlight. The nation's foremost infectious disease expert is welcoming the shift in tone that has come with a new president.
The idea that you can get up here and talk about what you know, what the evidence, what the science is, and know that's it. Let the science speak. It is somewhat of a liberating feeling.
At the same time, Fauci is cautiously optimistic about President Biden's plans to ramp up vaccinations.
I believe that the goal that was set by the president of getting 100 million people vaccinated in the first 100 days is quite a reasonable goal.
So far, the U.S. has administered more than 18 million shots. Get the latest on the effort from our Bloomberg vaccine tracker online at Bloomberg.com.
Back on Capitol Hill, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell is threatening to oppose legislation from President Biden unless Democrats commit to keeping the filibuster rule intact.
The legislative filibuster is a crucial part of the Senate. Leading Democrats like President Biden himself have long defended it.
With the Senate split 50-50, McConnell and Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer have been meeting to work out a power-sharing agreement. Separately, McConnell is pushing for a delay to the impeachment trial of Donald Trump. The minority leader is proposing a start date in February to give the former president time to assemble a legal team.
Despite the divide in Washington, there should be a few proposals President Biden can push through quickly. That's according to former Democratic Governor of Pennsylvania, Ed Rendell.
Those are things like significant reductions in prescription drug prices, a $15 minimum wage, a robust infrastructure bill that spends significant dollars creating jobs, creating orders for American manufacturing.
Former Governor Rendell was a guest on Bloomberg Sound On, heard weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio. While those priorities are surely high on Biden's list, he is also making moves in the energy sector. Sources tell us the president's poised to suspend the sale of coal, oil, and gas leases on federal land. We're told the official announcement on that comes next week.
When it comes to taxes under the new administration, corporations and wealthy Americans are being targeted for an increase. We get more from Bloomberg's Tom Busby.
Janet Yellen, the president's pick for Treasury Secretary, plans to fast-track a series of tax hikes. Bloomberg News obtained her written responses to follow-up questions from senators at her confirmation hearing. And in those responses, Yellen suggested the wealthy could see higher tax rates under her tenure. She also backed President Biden's plan to raise the corporate tax rate. The Senate Finance Committee is scheduled to advance Yellen's nomination today. Tom Busby, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Tom, thank you. Turning to Wall Street now, Intel is out with earnings. The chipmaker is giving an upbeat forecast for the current quarter, but challenges remain, and that has shares down 5% this morning. Ed Ludlow has more from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
Intel sees revenue of around $17.5 billion for the period ending in March, above expectations. There was an appearance from incoming CEO Pat Gelsinger on the call, who replaces Bob Swan on February 15th. Gelsinger said Intel would eventually outsource some chip production, a question that investors have been pondering for months. A longer-term concern, though, is enterprise customers. Sales to corporate customers have been much more quiet. In the data centers business, volumes and average selling prices also declined. In San Francisco, Ed Ludlow, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And thank you. We're getting a better picture this morning on how bonus season will shake out on Wall Street. Bank of America will pay its staff special bonuses for working through the pandemic. Those who make $100,000 or less will get an extra $750 this year, while higher paid employees will get a stock award.
And there will be no pay raise for Jamie Dimon. J.P. Morgan Chase is keeping the CEO's compensation unchanged. He'll get $31.5 million for his work last year, at a time when the pandemic roiled the economy and caused banks to set aside billions to cover bad loans. Futures lower this morning. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's now 5:07 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in New York and around the world this morning with Michael Barr. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning to you, Nathan. Officials say 15 New York City-run coronavirus vaccination hubs are postponing all first dose appointments as the city waits for more vaccine supplies. Mayor Bill de Blasio says that the shortage comes as the city gears up to inoculate ever-growing numbers of people against the coronavirus. He said 45,000 vaccine doses were administered Wednesday in the city, and the daily number will grow if the city gets more doses.
We're going to be at 50,000 a day and more very soon. If we have the vaccine to go with it, we've had to, and I think it's just tremendously sad that as we have so many people want the vaccine and so much ability to give the vaccine, what's happening? For lack of supply, we're actually having to cancel appointments.
De Blasio says he is hopeful that President Joe Biden will use the Defense Production Act to get more vaccines produced. The Port Authority released a new plan to replace its neglected, overcrowded Midtown bus terminal. Port Authority officials say replacing it will take a decade at least and billions of dollars. The new five-story terminal will be able to handle almost 40% more passengers. Congress has sent President Biden a bill to allow retired General Lloyd Austin to be Secretary of Defense. The House easily passed a waiver that would allow Austin to hold the position. The Senate soon followed.
On this vote, the yeas are 69, the nays are 27. The 60-vote threshold having been achieved, the bill is passed.
Lawmakers had to approve a waiver for Austin because he retired from the service within the last 7 years. He would be the first black Secretary of Defense in U.S. history. President Biden will seek a 5-year extension of the new START arms control treaty with Russia. It comes as the new director of national intelligence, Avril Haines, has her first big assignment, find out what Russia did last year. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki.
The president is also issuing a tasking to the intelligence community for its full assessment of the SolarWinds cyber breach, Russian interference in the 2020 election, its use of chemical weapons against opposition leader Alexei Navalny, and the alleged bounties on U.S. soldiers in Afghanistan.
A group of Senate Democrats filed a complaint to the Ethics Committee seeking an investigation of Republican Senators Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley, accusing them of spreading baseless claims of election fraud that contributed to the January 6th storming of the Capitol. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael. Thank you. Almost 5:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good Friday morning, John Stashare.
All right, thanks, Nathan. Solid win for the Knicks to start the four-game road trip. They scored 40 points in the first quarter, went on to beat Golden State 119-104. Six Knicks in double figures, led by R.J. Barrett, 28 points. Islanders got a pair of goals from Jordan Eberle, beat the Devils 4-1. The slump continues at Rutgers, who was 7-1, ranked in the top 15, a fifth loss in a row, 75-67 at Penn State, who came in 0-5 in the Big Ten. The Philadelphia Eagles have named Nick Sirianni their new head coach. He had been the offensive coordinator in Indianapolis. The Jets introduced new coach Rob Saleh, who was asked about the effect that 9/11 had on him. His brother had just moved to New York, was in the second day of a job at Morgan Stanley on the 61st floor of the South Tower when the North was hit. He ignored advice to stay put and began moving down. He was on the 24th floor when the South Tower was hit. He survived. The Jets coach said it factored in him changing careers and pursuing his coaching dream.
Going through my brother's experience and the tragedy that he experienced, being able to self-reflect on what I was doing at that moment and realizing that I had a passion for football really triggered this whole thing. And, you know, in 2014, we were here in MetLife Stadium, won a Super Bowl with Seattle, and now to be here as part of the New York Jets and knowing that our first game is a day after the 20th anniversary. I mean, I'm supposed to be here.
Saleh, he preys on incumbent quarterback Sam Darnold. QB Dwayne Haskins, top draft pick, released before his second season ended in Washington, has signed with Pittsburgh. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thanks, John. And join us tonight for the Bloomberg Business of Sports show. NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman joins us to discuss the challenges the pandemic poses to the league this year. You can catch that conversation tonight at 7 and tomorrow at 11 a.m. on Bloomberg Radio or anytime on the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by your tri-state area Land Rover retailers. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks in Europe are falling along with U.S. stock index futures as restrictions to curb escalating coronavirus cases dent some of the optimism over earnings and plans for additional stimulus. The British pound is weakening after Prime Minister Boris Johnson said the U.K.'s third lockdown could last into the summer. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down about 25 points. Dow futures down 228 and NASDAQ futures down 71. The DAX in Germany is down 0.7%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 1.09%, yield on the 2-year 0.12%. NYMEX crude oil is down 2.1% or $1.11 at $52.02 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.4% or $8.30 at $18.60.80 an ounce. The euro 1.2175 against the dollar, British pound 1.3663, and the yen is at 103.69. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Republican leader Mitch McConnell is proposing Donald Trump's impeachment trial be delayed for at least 2 weeks, saying that Trump needs more time to prepare. House Democrats who voted to impeach Trump for inciting the Capitol riot have signaled they want a quick trial. Dr. Anthony Fauci, President Biden's chief medical advisor, says he feels somewhat liberated working for the president after Donald Trump tried to sideline him. Fauci had been replaced by Scott Atlas, who questioned face masks, social distancing, and other public health precautions against COVID. In the NBA, the Knicks down the Warriors 119-104. NHL action, the Islanders beat the Devils 4-1. The Bruins won in a shootout against the Flyers 5-4. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 5:19 on Wall Street, and we're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager. As we continue to take a look at the prospects for another round of stimulus as the pandemic continues to weigh on markets, President Joe Biden is going to mark his third day in office with another round of executive actions aimed at boosting food assistance for millions of Americans and using federal contracts as a step toward a nationwide minimum wage hike. For more on all this, we're joined by Terry Haynes, founder of Pangea Policy. It's good to have you with us once again this morning, Terry. And we're just starting to flesh out some of the details on this latest round of executive actions we're expecting from President Biden today. What impact, if any, do you see it having?
Good morning, Nathan. As far as the impact goes, I mean, as far as the market impact goes, I mean, I don't think there's really very much, both because markets would expect these kinds of actions and because an incoming Democratic administration would use these sorts of things to signal a restoration. You know, it's kind of symbolism week here in Washington, and I don't mean that lightly. One of the things that I thought was the most market positive about this week potentially was the Biden calming tone at the top, and that's certainly coming true. So, and he is setting the tone for his new administration. So restoring traditional Democratic priorities is certainly part of that, but I don't think it really makes that much difference market-wise because, as you know, and as you've been reporting, this is really all kind of all stimulus, all COVID response all the time.
Right. And we're still waiting for the $1.9 trillion stimulus to start to get rolling on Capitol Hill. Could be a very difficult roll. A lot of bumps ahead with a number of Republicans starting to show a bit of resistance to at least the entire package. How do you see the negotiations playing out in the days to come?
Well, you know, the way I think about it is there's good news and bad news for markets. The good news is you certainly get some more stimulus, I think. The bad news is it's not, and maybe this is political bad news for Biden as well, but you don't get anywhere near 1.9, and it doesn't happen particularly quickly. You know, we all know that work expands to fill the time allotted, and right now the time allotted is the end of March because we just passed something close to $1 trillion that runs until the end of March. So, you know, in Washington, that's a signal that you really don't have to do anything until the end of March, early April at the earliest. And, you know, there's already a lot of concerns here. You've got a lot of Republican senators and some Democrats as well saying that they don't like the proposal either because it's far too much money or because it's not nearly enough. And, you know, the White House saying that they think their plan was designed for bipartisan support. Well, it's starting to become clear that it isn't. My prediction here is you get the trillion around April, May, and generally the way to ballpark this is the closer it is, the more direct the provision is that has to do with COVID, the more likely it is to get passed. But, you know, anything that is peripherally affected because of COVID probably doesn't. So there's going to be a weaning process here, and it's going to take quite some time.
Only about a minute left here, Terry, but we've heard from Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell saying that he will block President Biden's legislation unless the filibuster rule is allowed to remain intact. Do you see Democrats targeting the filibuster?
I see some Democrats targeting the filibuster. I think what people need to understand is that changing the filibuster rule, which is essentially a 60-vote requirement in order to bring something to the floor for a vote, if you change that to a minimum, the way that nominations have been done since 2013, you are diminishing the power of every individual senator. So what's going on here behind the scenes is, you know, Leader Schumer really doesn't have the votes to change the filibuster. There's probably a majority in the Senate, I think, that are against changing that. But yet Schumer needs to pursue this to quiet the progressive left. So this back and forth is going to take a little while, I think.
Thank you, as always, Terry. Hope you have a good weekend. Terry Haynes is founder of Pangea Policy with us this morning to take a look at some of the major policy differences that are already starting to crop up as the Biden administration begins to roll out a number of executive actions aimed at the pandemic and other policy issues as well. S&P futures right now down 25 points, Dow futures down 230, and NASDAQ futures down 70 points. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by your tri-state area Land Rover retailers. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. President Biden is once again issuing executive orders. This time, the directive focuses on the economy. Details emerge just this hour. And Amy Morris has the latest from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
The orders will expand eligibility for enhanced food stamp programs, help veterans who are behind on their bills, and help those still waiting for stimulus checks. Federal employees and contractors will be paid a $15 minimum wage, seen as the first steps toward a nationwide minimum wage hike. Federal employees' rights that were stripped under the Trump administration will be restored. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thanks. Now, the move comes as the cost of President Biden's stimulus plan faces opposition from Republicans. Sources tell us the administration plans to meet with a bipartisan group of lawmakers to discuss the package. That meeting will likely take place in the next week.
Still, President Biden's primary focus remains on the pandemic, and he's warning the nation to prepare for dark days ahead.
We didn't get into this mess overnight. It's going to take months for us to turn things around. But let me be equally clear. We will get through this. We will defeat this pandemic.
The president's asking the nation to assume a wartime footing in its fight against the pandemic. He said 100,000 more Americans will likely die over the next month.
Meantime, the Biden administration is making moves in the energy sector. Sources tell us the president's poised to suspend the sale of coal, oil, and gas leases on federal land. We're told the official announcement on that comes next week, along with other initiatives aimed at climate change.
When it comes to taxes under the White House, Janet Yellen plans to fast-track a series of increases. Bloomberg News obtained the incoming Treasury Secretary's written responses to follow up questions from senators at her confirmation hearing. In those responses, Yellen suggested the wealthy could see higher tax rates under her tenure. She also backs President Biden's plan to raise the corporate tax rate to 28%.
Turning to Wall Street now, Bitcoin slumped below $30,000 for the first time in 2.5 weeks, touching $28,000 briefly before rebounding overnight. But the cryptocurrency remains far from this month's highs. Checking it now, Bitcoin is trading at $31,174.
And futures are lower this morning. S&P futures down 22 points, Dow futures down 218, and NASDAQ futures down 59. The 10-year Treasury up 2/32, the yield 1.09%, and the yield on the 2-year is 0.12%. NYMEX crude oil is down 2.3% at $1.22 at $51.92 a barrel. And straight ahead, we have your latest local headlines plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thanks. 5:33 on Wall Street now, and Michael Barr is back with a check of what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. Officials say 15 New York City-run coronavirus vaccination hubs are postponing all first-dose appointments, and other sites have stopped making new appointments as the city waits for more vaccine supplies. Mayor Bill de Blasio says that the shortage comes as the city gears up to inoculate ever-growing numbers of people against the coronavirus. De Blasio says he is thankful President Biden is in office to fight the pandemic.
Thank God he is invoking the Defense Production Act. That's what we need, the most muscular possible approach to maximize the amount of supply, get it to here, to New York City, everywhere around the country. Because we are running out of vaccine and we need more now.
De Blasio says 45,000 vaccine doses were administered Wednesday in the city. Dr. Anthony Fauci says the Biden vaccination plan can be very effective. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports Fauci is very glad to be on the Biden team.
Dr. Fauci says he feels liberated and says he had some very uncomfortable moments with Donald Trump.
But it was very clear that there were things that were said, be it regarding things like hydroxychloroquine and other things like that, that really was uncomfortable because they were not based on scientific fact.
And he says more comfortable now.
One of the new things in this administration is if you don't know the answer, don't guess. Just say you don't know the answer. Yeah.
In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
The Port Authority released a new plan to replace its old Midtown bus terminal. Port Authority officials say replacing it will take a decade at least and billions of dollars. The new five-story terminal will be able to handle almost 40% more passengers. A lawyers group filed an ethics complaint against Rudy Giuliani with New York's courts. Lawyers defending American democracy want Giuliani to be investigated and his law license suspended over promoting former President Trump's false allegations over the 2020 election. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell wants to postpone Donald Trump's impeachment trial. McConnell proposed delaying the trial until February to give the former president time to prepare and review his case. The House impeached Trump on a single charge of incitement of insurrection for the deadly January 6th attack on the Capitol. Congress approved the waiver needed for Lloyd Austin to serve as President Joe Biden's defense secretary. It is a key step toward making the retired Army general the first black leader of the Pentagon. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg Native.
All right, Michael, thanks. Almost 5:36 on Wall Street. John Stashower is back with a Bloomberg Sports Update.
Nathan, the Knicks have their second three-game winning streak of the season. They come sandwiched around a five-game losing streak, but they got back to 500 with a wire-to-wire 119-104 win at Golden State. R.J. Barrett, 28 points. Julius Randle just missed a triple-double. 16 points, 17 rebounds, 9 assists. The Knicks play again tonight at Sacramento. Marquee game in Milwaukee. The Lakers now 8-0 on the road. They beat the Bucks 113-106. LeBron James scored 36. The NBA has shut down the Memphis Grizzlies. Their next three games all postponed due to COVID, which will also cause Washington Capitals star Alex Ovechkin and three of his teammates to miss at least the next four games. Islanders improved to 3-1 on the year. They beat the Devils 4-1. College hoops, fifth straight loss for Rutgers, 75-67 at Penn State. The Tokyo Summer Olympics postponed from last summer to this July, and now the Times of London reports the games will be canceled, a denial from the IOC. Philadelphia Eagles hired as their new coach, 39-year-old Nick Sirianni. He was the offensive coordinator at Indianapolis. He beat out longtime New England assistant Josh McDaniels. So six jobs have been filled. Only Houston is still looking. The Jets hired Rob Saleh. He was introduced yesterday.
Get used to the mantra, all gas, no break. When we talk about all gas, no break, we're not talking about effort on the field. We're talking about the process at which we do things. We're talking about the way we prepare, the way we wake up every single morning, the way we rehab, the way we communicate, the way we speak to one another.
Tristan Johnson, who was the Jets owner as his brother Woody worked as ambassador to the United Kingdom, says Woody will not return, but that both Johnsons will be involved with the team. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thank you, John. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
Nearly half of the riskiest U.S. real estate markets are in New Jersey. An index released Thursday by real estate analytics firm Atom Data Solutions indicates 40% of the 20 riskiest real estate markets in the U.S. lie in 8 New Jersey counties. It takes a while to sell an apartment in Manhattan these days. In Brooklyn and Queens, properties are clearing in about half the time. In Tribeca, units that changed hands in the fourth quarter spent a median of 138 days on the market, according to data supplied by StreetEasy. It took 100 days to sell apartments on the Upper East Side and 175 days in Midtown. New York City's Restaurant Week promotion is returning in a new format. NYC Restaurant Week to Go, as it's being called, will give diners the opportunity to purchase a delivery or takeout meal for $20.21. The meals from participating businesses will feature at least one entree and a side dish. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
All right, Ed, thank you. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for Wham 1180 in Rochester, New York, I'm reporting that some assisted living centers have a new sales pitch. Sign a lease, get a COVID-19 vaccine.
I'm Roger Hearing on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on Boris Johnson suggesting the lockdown in England could reach into the summer.
I'm Steve Poduskin on 1010 Winds in New York. We're talking about IBM's 10th straight quarter of disappointing sales numbers.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting shares of GM and Ford have been soaring.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Yeah, disappointment for IBM. The shares are down more than 7% in early trading after earnings missed estimates. Let's get that story from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Sales fell 6.5% to $20.4 billion. That was below the $20.75 billion that analysts had forecast on average and marked the 10th consecutive quarter with no year-over-year increase in revenue. Revenue declined across IBM's business segments in the fourth quarter. Cloud and cognitive software, IBM's biggest unit, saw revenue decrease 4.5% from a year earlier. That followed a 7% gain in that unit in the third quarter. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. COVID lockdowns are having an impact on the UK economy. Retail sales in the kingdom rose 0.3% in December, a percentage point less than economists had expected. The richest person in the world is offering up $100 million. That's what Elon Musk says he will pay toward a prize for the best carbon capture technology. The entrepreneur made that announcement on Twitter, said details would come next week. Musk is co-founder of electric car maker Tesla. And Bloomberg News has learned Samsung Electronics may spend more than $10 billion to build an advanced chip-making plant in Austin, Texas, a major investment that the Korean firm hopes will win more American clients and could help Samsung catch up with industry leader Taiwan Semiconductor. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 1130 weather, partly to mostly sunny. Chance for a snow shower this afternoon with highs in the low 40s. It'll be partly to mostly sunny, windy, and cold tomorrow. Weekend highs in the low 30s. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks in Europe are falling along with U.S. stock index futures as restrictions to curb escalating coronavirus cases dent some of the optimism over earnings and plans for additional stimulus. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 24 points this morning. Dow futures down 233. NASDAQ futures down 63. The DAX in Germany is down 0.7%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 1.09%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.12%. NYMEX crude oil is down 2.4% at $1.27 at $51.85 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.7% or $13.50 at $18.55.80 an ounce. The euro 1.2175 against the dollar. British pound 1.3661. And the yen is at 103.68. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, public health experts are blaming COVID-19 vaccine shortages around the U.S. in part on the Trump administration's push to get states to vastly expand their vaccination drives to reach the nation's estimated 54 million people aged 65 and over. The push has not been accompanied by enough doses to meet demand. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell called for delaying the impeachment trial for Donald Trump until next month. McConnell says it's a matter of fairness to the former president, who is still assembling a defense team. It comes after a mob stormed the Capitol 2 weeks ago. In the NBA, the Knicks down the Warriors 119-104. In the NHL, the Islanders beat the Devils 4-1. The Bruins won in a shootout against the Flyers 5-4. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. We're coming up on 5:49 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. I'm Nathan Hager. Now that we've heard from the six big Wall Street banks, we know that their revenues have held up amazingly well despite the pandemic. What's that going to mean for their employees as the banks head into bonus season? Let's get more on that now from Bloomberg Markets reporter Danny Berger joins me live. Great to speak with you, Danny. We got our latest clue from Bank of America, and it doesn't look like these are the types of bonuses that
employees are used to.
No, not exactly. And yeah. Especially when you think of this huge windfall we got on these trading desks, the bonus pool, the just salary increase, the pay increase we're getting, the numbers we're getting in look very modest in comparison. So Bank of America is paying a special bonus for staff who have been working through the pandemic. There's an increase, $750 to people who earn $100,000 or less. Everybody else gets stock award. But that's just one example. If we look at the top banks we know of so far and get an average number for how much their pay will increase, it's just $271 per employee. And let me sort of describe this discrepancy because it is big. JP Morgan, their revenue per employee surged 22%. The pay figure, just 1% increase.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's what we're seeing across these banks. It's a really big disparity between revenue growth and employee pay growth.
Well, what are you seeing behind this divergence here? Is there a possibility that these banks are keeping optics in mind? They don't want to be seen giving big bonuses to their employees when Main Street still isn't doing as nearly as well as Wall Street during the pandemic.
Right. That's certainly the consensus we're starting to get from strategists and analysts alike. One person told us that the optics aren't good because when you give the reward to these big lenders, the big traders, they tend to take on more risk and that could attract criticism. And attracting criticism, I think, is something that's very top of mind for the big lenders, considering we have a change of guard in Washington. They're coming at a time when the average person is seeing times of hardship because of the coronavirus pandemic. So it doesn't look good to be giving these big payouts in the environment. And I should say, look, you know, capital markets desk did very well for the banks, but areas like lending still struggled somewhat. So this is an average number we're looking at. And, you know, not all parts of the business did well, despite, again, this huge bonanza of trading that helped Wall Street.
So does that mean that we could possibly see a discrepancy in compensation depending on the desks that these workers are working at?
Yeah, I think we likely will see that. I think in particular, the rainmakers of these desks, those are the ones that we could probably see their payout grow a little bit more, perhaps not as much as we usually would. But, you know, we've heard these banks say before that they are in the business of keeping top talent. You know, they pay for performance. They don't want to lose anyone. So there probably is a commitment to keep some of those rainmakers around and give them a higher payout. So that does mean it likely will be uneven.
Yeah. And so in our last minute here, what could all this mean for retention if, you know, more broadly, employees of these banks don't get the kind of comp that they're used to?
Well, look, we're in an environment where the big banks keep getting bigger. And so if those banks are able to keep up somewhat of this compensation, you could see some of the smaller banks really struggle to compete in this area, despite the fact that they're all not increasing pay as much. If you look at someone like a Wells Fargo, they're cutting costs much more dramatically than JP Morgan, for example. So in terms of talent flow, it's going to be harder for the smaller entities to hang on when perhaps the bigger banks have all the firepower right now.
This is going to be really interesting to watch as we get further into bonus season. Thank you for this, Danny. Great talking with you again. That's Bloomberg Markets reporter Danny Berger with us this morning. Karen?
All right, Nathan, thank you. It's 5:53 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
President Biden fired Alice Stock, the second highest ranking attorney at the National Labor Relations Board, one day after firing her boss, Peter Roth. That leaves the agency's legal division in limbo. The Biden administration ordered OSHA to determine whether there's a need for emergency temporary standards to protect workers from on-the-job COVID-19 infections. And Utah's new governor, Spencer Cox, says he supports income tax cuts for senior citizens and families in the state.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now, another legal story we're watching includes the implications for President Joe Biden's environmental agenda. He's already laid plans to rejoin the Paris Climate Accord, stop the Keystone XL oil pipeline, and direct federal agencies to review environmental rollbacks under Donald Trump. And a court decision on Wednesday striking down the former president's industry-friendly climate rule for power plants could give Biden a clean slate for regulating emissions from the energy sector. For more on the matter, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to environmental law professor Pat Parento at the Vermont Law School.
The Trump administration pushed through all kinds of new rules and environmental rollbacks in its final days, so much so that California Attorney General Javier Becerra sued the Trump administration 9 times on Tuesday to combat those last-minute environmental rollbacks. How difficult will it be for the Biden administration to roll back the rollbacks?
Well, the last-minute rollbacks that just have happened within the last literally few weeks, Biden can freeze. In fact, his chief of staff has already announced an executive order freezing all of those rollbacks for now. And then they'll be reevaluated by EPA or whatever other agency. You know, the Department of Interior has a whole bunch of rules. They've got all those leases, you know, like the oil and gas leases in the Arctic Wildlife Refuge and other places. So there are a lot of sort of immediate things that Biden can put a hold on and then reconsider and drop eventually or change. The ones that are more difficult, obviously, are the rules that have already taken effect, like the power plant rules. The good news there is this amazing decision from the D.C. Circuit Court, 185-page opinion, trashing the Trump power plant rules, throwing them out completely, sending EPA back to square one.
Does that decision give the Biden administration sort of a clean slate for regulating emissions from the power sector?
This opinion gives the Biden administration a terrific opportunity to redesign what used to be the Clean Power Plan. I think we're going to see something somewhat different, maybe a lot different. This opinion is kind of a blueprint for how to design a really strong greenhouse gas rule for power plants to replace the really bad rule that Trump came up with. So each one of these issues and rules and decisions, you know, is going to have a different process for how they have to be fixed and how Trump's rollback has to in itself be rolled back. So it's going to take time and it's going to have to be done carefully, but it can be done. And eventually, I do think we're probably going to see a rollout of some of the strongest set of rules. And not just for climate, but across the board. You know, Biden's talking about environmental justice issues all the time and racial justice issues more broadly. So one of the things I expect to see is increasing protection for these communities of color that have been disproportionately affected by pollution for way too long.
And that's Vermont Law School professor Pat Parento speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by listening to the Bloomberg Law Show at 10 p.m. Eastern Time or subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. Futures this morning are falling. S&P futures down about 28 points. Dow futures down 253. NASDAQ futures down 77. And the 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 1.09%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.12%. Our top stories straight ahead on Bloomberg Radio.